Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Oh, I thank you so much for the opportunity to just talk a little bit about where we've been and where we're at and what we look forward to in the future. And I wish all of your listeners a very safe future and appreciate the opportunity just to sit and chat with you again.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Guess who is back as today's guest mentor? Any takers? Oh, yeah, we're not live. Kathy Hockert, or better known as the master of disaster in the best way. Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, how are you? You survived the last 18 months.
Oh boy, not unscathed, I will tell you that, like everybody else. But we'll certainly dig into some of the gory details as we get further in, I imagine.
Yes, we will, for sure. Because Kathy's with us today to discuss what she's learned since we last spoke in mid-March of 2020 about leadership preparedness and continuity operation plans. She gave solid advice then and has a lot to update us on now. So to give you, refresh your memory a little bit, Kathy Hockert has two crucial roles. One is with a consultancy she founded in 2006. It's CH Consultancy. She is a disaster expert and can be found at disasterexperts.org. Her consultancy tagline says it all, quote, "The only thing harder than planning for an emergency is explaining why you didn't," end quotes. Her dual role as Minnesota's Enterprise Continuity of Government Director, and in this capacity, Kathy is responsible for ensuring Minnesota government can continue to operate during an incident that may threaten to disrupt critical government services. Kathy is also an adjunct instructor for several universities and instructs at FEMA's Center for Domestic Preparedness. In addition, Kathy is a member of a national incident management team and has been deployed to several disasters throughout the United States to provide her emergency response knowledge, including infectious disease outbreaks. Kathy has provided her expertise to the COVID-19 federal quarantine response at the Travis Air Force Base in California. Kathy holds a bachelor's degree in biology and English from the University of Minnesota Morris and a master's of public health degree from the College of Health and Sciences and Osteopathic Medicine from Kirksville, Missouri. She also holds several certifications in business continuity and emergency management planning and response. So she's talking with us today representing CH Consulting Group, her consultancy, not as Minnesota's Enterprise Continuity of Government Director. Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
All right, great. So welcome to We Mentor Mondays. This is our 300th episode, and I'm really thrilled to have you back to hear how you have been surviving these last 18 months.
Yeah, thanks. I'm so happy to be here for your 300th episode. That is so exciting. Congratulations on that. That's wonderful. Yeah, when you ask, how are you? That's a loaded question, honestly. I think that's a question that we all have been asking each other throughout the last 18, 20, 20, 22 months. And there's so many different facets to that. I think we are different than we were 20 months ago. We've learned a lot. There are certainly things that we have to continue to learn and challenge ourselves with. But so here I am. I'm excited to be here. And this is a great opportunity to continue the next level of conversation with now what? We've gone through this. We're still in a little bit of this. But where do we go from here? And what do we feel about what we've gone through? And how can we continue to move forward in COVID environment, is what I like to call it now, because COVID's not going to go away. So how do we continue to thrive and live in this new environment that we have?
Yeah, because it certainly is different. And I just want to say to listeners that I will include both podcast episodes from our prior conversations. So you can just scroll down to the episode resource section in the show notes and click on each link, because Kathy gave such great advice. And we're focusing more on, you know, what to do now, what do we feel about how we've been through, and how are we shaping a new view of how we work in COVID.
That's right. That's right. And like most of us, I'm exhausted. I'm fatigued. I'm ready to live normally, but I realize this is the new normal. And like I said, mentioning earlier, is how do we live in this new environment, this new COVID environment that will likely be with us for a while? And how do we not only just live in it, but how can we be safe within it and then thrive in this environment, and recognize that because we're living with COVID, that there still needs to be that ability to be strategic in our planning and our and to be flexible in how we continue our day-to-day activities.
Yeah. And you spoke to us before we even knew that COVID-19 had reached pandemic proportions. So some of the key points in preparedness start with gathering factual and credible information. So we learned that the World Health Organization, the Center for Disease Control, and the Minnesota Department of Health has really nationally respected outlets for health information. And I was just noticing that there is in the New York Times, in the November 1st printing of it, there was a graph of how we are faring week to week with COVID numbers and those who have been vaccinated and those who haven't. And what are their breakthroughs? How significant are they with those who are vaccinated and those who aren't? There's no breakthrough for those who haven't gotten vaccinated, but it's I guess I was reassured that the vaccinations are really keeping us safer. And I mm-hmm. think the booster shots will really help us even bring the breakthrough numbers down. Even they're not that big now, but it'll,
right.
I'm hoping they'll bring the numbers down even further. Is that what you're noticing too?
Yeah, I think I just want to make note that just like our seasonal influenza vaccine, and I'll put a plug in, if you haven't been vaccinated, I really encourage you to get vaccinated for COVID as well as for seasonal flu vaccine, or seasonal flu. Just like we notice with when you get a flu shot, it doesn't mean that you're not necessarily going to get the flu, the seasonal flu. What the vaccine does is helps us to lessen the severity of disease, and hopefully that we don't end up hospitalized or don't end up dead. That's the help with a vaccine. So, of course, we're going to see likely cases of breakthrough even in the vaccinated population. We see that with seasonal influenza. The hope with COVID vaccine, like seasonal flu vaccination, is that by being vaccinated, it really does reduce our risk for severe illness and reduces the risk for death amongst the majority of the population. I definitely will tell you that we'll see continued breakthrough cases, but it will be limiting and it'll be lessening as we go forward. And so that's a real positive thing to think about, is if I can make the difference by getting vaccinated, I can lessen my chance of getting that severe illness. I'm going to do it, right? Because that seems to be the thing that makes the most sense to me. I'm happy to see about our surge with COVID that this phase is now seemingly going away. As was mentioned, I am on an incident management team, and just a couple of months ago, I was down in Region 4, which is in the southern part of the United States, and providing assistance to the states down there in helping them increase their vaccination rates and decreasing their surge, providing some ability to get them the monoclonal antibodies, the treatment for COVID. If you get a mild to moderate disease, you can get this antibody treatment. And so seeing what I saw down in the South, and it was horrifying and terrifying. And I felt horrible for the healthcare providers who are having to do this day in and day out. It's incredible. And all of us have gone through this and have gotten the battle scars. But truly, those that are on the front lines have seen so much death and pain from this, that I know that they're also looking forward to ending this pandemic. And I think it's a positive, we're seeing positive numbers right now, which is things are going in the right direction, which I'm excited about. And I hope that as we see new cases or new variants develop, that because we are getting more and more people vaccinated, those variants will be more susceptible to the vaccine and less ability to spread in the population.
Yeah. And you mentioned COVID fatigue. Yeah, I found myself, and I was noticing others too, did not even want to hear the word COVID. Like I was just like, I'm so done with COVID and that fatigue and of just it constantly in the news. But
right.
Now I feel like, okay, we know, I guess I've adapted to the fact that it's going to be here, which we didn't know even a few months ago, that has seeped into the news forecast. Of that this isn't going away and that all the health leaders are seeing that we need to be flexible and adapt to this new normal.
Yeah, that's right, Nancy. And I also would say that just so in the 1918 pandemic, that was caused by an avian influenza, H1N1. And I just want to talk for a minute about the comparisons between that and COVID.
Yeah.
Because I think it's an interesting dichotomy. So the 1918 flu was caused by an influenza virus. COVID's caused by a coronavirus. So two separate type of viruses. But both of them, at least as I can talk about for today anyway, both of them have had four waves, about 4 months each. And so that we saw that in 1918, the influenza had four waves where you had illness and then a drop down and you had illness again. Those waves lasted about 4 months. And we're seeing that same with COVID. With the 1918, that infected about a third of the population, about 500 million during that time. And so there was about 50 million deaths. The interesting thing, the difference between the 1918 and COVID-19 is that the 1918 influenza killed mostly 25 to 40 year olds. So if you think about with COVID-19, COVID-19 really killed most of the people that were in the 65 and over age group, and also those who had some comorbidities. So if you're looking at 1918, 40% of the deaths came from that 25 to 40 year old age group. That's scary. That was the workforce. That was the military. That was a real, real scary time. And in COVID, we had about 3.9, maybe 4% of the population was in that 65 plus. And that's, if you look at, we saw the COVID fatigue, but just think about if we had the mortality in a certain age group, what that fatigue and exhaustion and fear, that additional fear would have provided to us. But thankfully, it was a more mild illness for those that are in the 25 to 40. Now, that may change as we see the different variants. Typically, viruses want to live, so they will become less virulent, so less deadly because they want to spread and but we don't know. COVID is a very unique virus and we don't know if that will eventually have another variant where it becomes more deadly to a certain population of people. So it's really interesting the difference between and the similarities between 1918 and COVID. All of our preparedness plans were based on what we knew from the 1918 pandemic and a little bit about what we experienced with the 2009 H1N1. When we looked at COVID-19, I was like, wait a minute, this is a completely different virus. This is the coronavirus. The other two things that we experienced was an influenza, and the diseases killed differently. So in 1918, most of the deaths were caused by people getting sick, and then they had a secondary bacterial pneumonia, and they didn't have antibiotics at that time and didn't have any pneumonia vaccines at that time. So with COVID, what we're seeing is you have an inflammatory immune response. So you're basically having more or less organ failure because your body has this immediate response and it kind of triggers everything and almost retaliates against your own body. So it's really interesting as I think about and have studied both the 1918 and COVID. In 1918, information traveled slowly. So we didn't see, as you mentioned, always on the news, right? You're seeing this COVID every time you turn on the radio, every time you turn on your TV, or every time you go to the website. In 1918, they didn't have that. They had the newspaper and they had very localized radio.
Yeah.
So information traveled really slowly, right? With COVID, we're getting bombarded. And so I think that there was still the fatigue going on in the 1918 because it was over 2 year period of time as well. But with COVID, we couldn't escape it. We just, every time you turned around, it was either a topic conversation or it became something that you heard about all of the time or read about or saw about. And so you add that to the fact that we have social media, we've got 24/7 news, we've got all of this stuff that's bombarding us, that adds to that fatigue, that adds to that feeling that you can't escape. And I will say that probably has added to a lot of the emotional distress and mental health issues that we will likely see coming out of this pandemic.
Yeah, and we have seen suicide rate has gone up and violence, right, and just all kinds of social things are happening with people acting out. And
honestly, I will tell you that I was exhausted. I was thinking back like in August or September of 2020, super busy, working 14, 16, 18 hour days, 7 days a week and with nonstop. And I recognized that, my gosh, I think I'm getting burnt out. Like, I am so stressed. I wasn't sleeping. I was emotional. I just wasn't myself. And so yeah, what I ended up doing is thinking, gosh, I can't continue at this pace and do well for anybody else. I can't continue to do this and be of service to anybody. So I really took a hard and fast look and said, I need to do self-care. And I think that a lot of the businesses and the organizations that you work with can probably appreciate and recognize some of those same pieces with what they experienced within COVID, just because if you're looking at like, my gosh, your business is going out of business or it has to close or you have to think of new ways to do your business. And I think that really has taken its toll on all of us as well. And so for me, I ended up having to make time for my mental health because I knew that this was really becoming a problem for me. And if anything comes out of this global pandemic, I would hope that we recognize the importance of mental health and getting people help that they need and removing the stigma around mental health. I'm hoping that that'll be something positive that can come out of the pandemic.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and people asking all the time how you're doing. Like you mentioned, you know, it's kind of a loaded question, but I think people have gotten more about their response because it was something that we were all experiencing at the same time. So we were wading through the swamp, trying to keep our heads above water and stay strong and really encourage each other. But the disruptions in the workforce, and we also noticed too, you know, the discrepancies of who's getting care, and then that's also alarming, and the disparities there, and then how workers are being treated, and that's needing to change. That's part of the reflection that we're seeing in the work environment, where there's help wanted signs everywhere because half of the workforce is still not coming back to work.
I think what happened is, and even for me, is I think COVID maybe has shifted some of our thought and some of where we put our priorities and thinking about, gosh, what is this that, what am I getting out of this life? Like, what's important to me? And you think about this, kind of boils down to our personal beliefs, our personal resiliency, is how can we recognize that we can only do so much. And so then eventually we need to unload or reduce the source of our stress. And there are a lot of people that were unhappy with where they were working. They decided, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. I have a relative of mine that she was a nurse, and she just said, I can't do this. Like, the joy has been taken out of my career. I can't do this anymore. And so she decided to start her own business. And she's in the process right now, taking some entrepreneurial classes and just thinking about what she wants to do in her next chapter and really doing some of that, just that self-reflection. And it's, I can tell you though, that has been very damaging in a way to, as you mentioned, like to businesses who can't get people to work. We have to be looking at, why is that the case? And what do we need to do to change or shift our mindset with our employees?
Yeah. If the joy is out of work, people are like, what am I aspiring toward? Why exactly am I doing this? And the headaches that are coming from this, is it worthwhile to be in this kind of stressful environment all the time if things aren't being done to help, you know, help people preserve their ability to be resilient and to lower the stress? So when COVID started, all of us were thinking it might just be a few months. And then as it, we can laugh now. We're like, oh yes, my gosh, how yes, funny were we? to think it would just be like a quick fix.
That's right. And I think we were a little bit, for sure, naive, but also a little bit where we thought we could just put a stop to this. A little bit where we're America. We are this great country and we'll definitely put a stop right to it. And my gosh, this virus that we cannot see brought us to our knees.
Yeah, and it's permanent, some permanent disruptions, and also so in longer term disruptions, but also we're coming in with a different perspective now. And so there's, along with disruption, there's always entrepreneurial opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're much more aware of how we're all connected, how germs are passing, and how we can protect ourselves in a kind of a situation. Like, I never thought, I'm like, golly, I wish we would have been introduced to the mask wearing, not just as that's what they do in China, but what can we do in the United States to really, because I wasn't sick at all last year. And I'm like, Wow, this is the first time I never even had a cold. And I'm like, I'm going to keep wearing my mask to the grocery store and in certain environments, I'm going to continue. We need to anyways. But after the variant has passed through and maybe it morphs into something else, but I'm realizing that masks are part of my life going forward, which I never would have imagined. It was such an inconvenience initially.
For sure. Absolutely. And you'll see a little bit of that now where you may get parents are starting to get a little sicker because their kids are going back to school. And so it's almost like when you had your child at home and then you sent them to the first day of kindergarten and then a week later you all got sick. That's the same thing because you're exposing them to multiple viruses or bacteria germs, and then they bring it back home to you. We didn't have that because we stayed home and then we wore masks and we made sure we social distance and we washed things down and sanitized. Those are all great practices that we should continue, in my opinion, because it allows us to be a healthier population in general. I mean, you just look at the number of people that didn't need to seek medical care because they didn't get sick. So I just think all of those changes are certainly for benefit, but we do need to change our mindset about that. And I'm hoping that will continue. I'm the same way. I wear masks wherever I go. I wasn't a big fan of crowds to begin with, and I'm certainly not interested in being in large groups anymore. But if I were to be in a situation, I would definitely wear my mask and make sure that I am sanitizing and doing what I need to do to keep well.
Yeah. And one of the things you talked about in one of our first conversations about preparedness is you talked about priority planning for 24/7 operations and services that have an economic impact, things that affect our cash flow, the money moving in and out of our businesses. So we hadn't imagined the degree and the length of time that I'm glad the government stepped in with the PPP plan because that really helped mm-hmm. to keep workers getting paid and also keeping businesses afloat. What we hadn't imagined was the degree and the length of time that we're like these supply chain problems. Now, those are starting to show up in the news more frequently, these huge containers that are stuck at seaports on the east, west, and the Gulf coastlines. Port congestion, empty containers, fee increases, and slowdown in getting all kinds of supplies because there's also a shortage of truck drivers. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, I wasn't aware of that. But we were noticing the ripples in not being able to get certain products, either online or in stores or grocery store shortages. I think I started noticing it in the grocery store at different times. What have you been experiencing or noticing?
Yeah, I think you're right. And you mentioned it's a ripple effect, right? We cannot have a global pandemic without having a global impact. And that's not just for healthcare and the fragile infrastructure we have within our healthcare systems, but also from an economic standpoint and really feeling the pain that anytime you have a worker shortage because they have a fear of getting sick at work or they don't want to work in that environment anymore or that job anymore, you're going to have a potential problem. You think about the beginning of COVID, we had manufacturing that just stopped. You had to, everybody just had to stop. COVID was spreading. And because you have that manufacturing process that has stopped, now we have a backlog of all of that. It will take us time to get through that, but not without the bruises, not without the need for businesses to pivot to remain flexible, to try to figure out other avenues in which to excel. And that's really challenging. And for businesses and organizations to try to figure out, like, well, how long is this going to last? We don't know. We can listen to economic reports, researchers, yeah, and specialists, and they will tell us it'll be a year or two. We're still seeing that. We've got these people that are leaving the workforce or not willing to work, not able to work, whatever. But that's going to have that ripple effect. So is there a way for businesses to go in together? You mentioned like the crates and the not being able to get that. Like a lot of large supply chains can pivot pretty easily, but the smaller businesses are really challenged with that. And is there a way to maybe go into a purchasing cooperative with other business owners that are similar in size or in what you do? And instead of looking at business, another business as a competitor, look at them as a companion to say, how can we leverage our partnership to be able to make this less of a factor or less of an effect on individual, on us as a business? I recognize that, gosh, one size doesn't fit all, but are there ways for businesses to find others that are similar and use them to help with getting through this situation? That's challenging. And again, we're asking businesses to continue to think creatively and think out of the box and continue to pivot. That's a song that they've been hearing the last 2 years. And I know it's a broken record for those that remember records. Although vinyl's coming back in.
Yeah,
but anyway,
it is.
But it's tough. But that's what I think we need to focus on is COVID has taken its toll on all businesses, but especially the small businesses. And so you mentioned the PPP program, and there's still other grant money out there through Minnesota here and with other states, I imagine, there's grant money. Don't feel like you shouldn't apply for money to provide some assistance to help you maybe go to the next level within your business or try a different partnership or try a different way to collaborate with other businesses, engage in the community. I think that's something to consider. Also, because we were such a global economy, is there a way for us to focus on local connections now and maybe offset some of those global challenges? I don't have the answers necessarily to that, but it's just thinking about, again, how best can we leverage what we have locally to be able to sustain us during this period of time? We're still challenged with some of those, the retail and the cash flow and the parts and the widgets that we need.
Yeah, because some larger businesses, so what they're doing, for example, they're purchasing their own containers so that they can control the process from overseas manufacturing to getting retail products to our U.S. borders and on trucks more efficiently. So we don't have those kinds of resources. And some larger companies are also going to bring in more manufacturing in the United States. That's another trend that's starting to expand, which would also help small business because they can capitalize on purchasing local manufacturing like you're talking about. And looking, you one of the things to build in continuity you suggested in our second conversation, podcast conversation, was continuity planning to really connect with local community resources and people to see how you can support your community. And I think there's a lot of online resources also where affiliate programs are also those, like, you know, I'm in the podcast arena. If you're promoting other people's products or doing reviews of other people's products or something, you can get affiliate money or Amazon affiliate programs where if you sell products that are connected with their business, that they will give you so much money. It takes a huge volume, but there are ways in which people are building out online way programs to support each other and earn an income at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's really important to work within a support network, work within a support group, again, like-minded businesses or individuals and business owners that can feed off of one another and learn about best practices and, hey, this worked for me. So I think anytime we can make those connections and network is a great opportunity for us to, it's just one more way, I think, for us to expand our reach and maybe feel less of the impact that we'll likely see for the next couple of years yet.
Okay. And we haven't solved all the problems in the world.
Oh, come on. I think if you just give me another 15 minutes, I'm pretty sure we can.
But how are you suggesting, as we're looking at 2022, what are some preparedness and continuity things that we haven't talked about yet that you would really like business, small business owners in particular, to consider in their planning?
I think one of the things that I want to bring forward is, if you haven't created a plan yet, it is not too late. It's never too late. This will not be our last pandemic. We will see other type of incidences that will affect and impact ourselves, maybe not to the degree, but maybe to the degree. We don't know. We know that we will have other pandemics. We will have other incidents and disasters. Preparing is the key. And without a plan to be able to sit through and talk with your leadership or talk with your staff to say, hey, how might we do this and do some of the what ifs, like what would happen if we had a flood here? What would happen if we had a tornado? What would happen if we lost half of our workforce? And some of that's already happening because of COVID, but I think it's important to continue to talk through those and have a plan in place. But also, again, as I mentioned earlier, is to really network. We've got organizations and groups that will support small businesses. Just there's a lot of resources out there, and I will send that to you so that you have that, Nancy, and you can put that up for folks. But just Great. To know, again, that they're not alone. We're more prepared today than we were a year ago, than we were 2 years ago, but we still need to continue to be prepared and be thinking about, what did we learn from this incident and from this pandemic that we're in, and how can we apply those lessons to be able to have it, if something were to happen, to have it be less impactful to us. We know that we need to be more self-reliant. If we look at just what we mentioned, some of the supply issues, and that goes all the way back from the PPE and the personal protective equipment. And we have what we call a just-in-time supply chain.
Oh, right.
Where we don't have a lot of stuff sitting around. And so what are the ways that we can become more self-reliant and help us during these times where we might not have the things available to us? We know that we're a global economy. We know that things that are not happening here can still impact us here. I will also say we do need to put more trust in the government and public health experts or other type of experts. And we recognize that they're not going to have all the answers. And there also will be maybe answers that change based on what we find out more about whatever disease or whatever issue that we're dealing with. We know that we just need to have some of those, the ability to connect, stay connected with our community, stay rooted within our community. We are resilient. We will get through this. It has been a long, hard battle, but I can tell you that we have learned a lot. And if you think about where we were 20 months ago to where we are now, I'd like to think that maybe some of our priorities have shifted to the positive, and we've maybe thought a little bit more about what's important to ourselves, both as persons, but also as community members and business owners.
Yeah, and we tried out the just-in-time manufacturing, and we're realizing in a crisis like this, in a pandemic, in an infectious disease situation, that is not going to help us through. So having some sort of an in-between plan. Mm-hmm. I'm also developing mentoring teams. Usually small business owners, like, they develop an advisory team, which these are, you know, professional people that are in different industries that they pull in for different meetings through several times a year. They're not paid positions, but I'm developing mentoring teams instead of advisory teams so that you can collectively pull in a mentoring team, I would suggest, for small business owners to do crisis planning so that you can get all minds on deck. But one of the ways in which you build continuity is by having relationships with people who are in different professions that you can tap into to get their perspective. I just wanted to put that out there today because that's the new thing that I am doing.
Yeah, that's great. I think that'll be a wonderful resource. I love that fact. So that's phenomenal.
Oh, good. Thanks. And I'm just wondering, what are you looking forward to in 2022?
Gosh, you know, I'm looking forward to an actual vacation.
Okay.
I haven't had one since 2020. Honestly, as I mentioned earlier on the pandemic, and actually throughout the pandemic, it's just been so exhausting for all of us. So for me, I'm looking forward to more life-work balance. I used to say work-life balance, but I've switched that around. Certainly more time with my family, I am looking forward to traveling and just exploring more of outdoors. I think being inside a lot during the last 20 months and not being able to get out caused a little bit of stir craziness. So I'm excited to just explore and being outside with nature. And that's where I find some of my peace. I'm excited to have COVID under control. I know we will get there. And I'm excited to see the continuing advancement of vaccines and gene therapy and some of the things that we've learned in this process and how we can apply it to future medical issues and some of the other diseases and illnesses that we see in the United States and globally. So I think we're learning a lot just from that perspective, and I'm excited to see how we can apply that.
Yeah, were you as surprised as everybody else of how fast the vaccine came out?
The technology was there. For years, we've had that technology. It's just we didn't really quite implement it. So I was really pleased with the fact of how quickly things were able to get ramped up and manufactured. And so, yeah, I thought that was great because we needed it. It's certainly a safe vaccine. And I think that has saved so many lives. And if we didn't have it, that would have been, we'd still be struggling in many ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. A lot more people dead, too.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. It's been a delight. Thank you for updating us. I'm glad that you've fared through this really intense time in our lives and that you took some time to be with us today and update us on how you're doing. And yeah, so thanks so much, Kathy. I just really appreciate you.
Oh, I thank you so much for the opportunity to just talk a little bit about where we've been and where we're at and what we look forward to in the future. And I wish all of your listeners a very safe future and appreciate the opportunity just to sit and chat with you again.
Great. All right. And thanks for tuning in. You can also go to disasterexperts.org, get some more information about how Kathy Hockett works. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, mon frère de notre mère, brother from another mother. And we'll see you all next week. Build upon your leadership skills and become effective as a business owner? Do you want to evolve yourself as you redesign your business? You can. We know that dual innovation with mentoring works. We've mentored thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and small business owners in this dual innovation process since 1992. We are here to co-create a mentoring process where you can nourish resilient relationships while you redesign your business. Resilient relationships promote relational literacy, the ability to understand and express healthy ways of relating. Even a slight increase in relational literacy can lead to significant improvement in all of your relationships. So why not take the risk to move out of dysfunctional relating and move into ways to deepen your connection to yourself and others? Assert self-leadership. If you aren't already subscribed to this podcast, go do it now. Go to wementor.com and get the support and skills needed to build a purposeful life journey with your peers on the entrepreneurial leadership path, consciously co-creating our future. You can also join our virtual mentoring community for one-on-one strategic mentoring or participate in a We Mentor Lab because we mentor meaningful conversations and activities that lead to higher levels of functionality and engagement in our world and everything that we do with each other. So engage your curiosity and become the leader you envision yourself to be today. WeMentor.com. Go there. Check it out.